Welcome back to episode 205. Joe, how you doing?
Just fine, Tim. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Well, some interesting developments this week. Some sad, some funny, some both actually. Sad and funny. That's the world we live in. It's a tragic comedy. Headline: Vermont governor designates George Floyd Remembrance Day. Governor Phil Scott has signed a proclamation designating Tuesday as George Floyd Remembrance Day in Vermont on the anniversary of Floyd's death in Minneapolis. Scott said he marked the day with the proclamation so that we reflect on Mr. Floyd's death and remember why we must continue to acknowledge systemic racism and inequality in order to fulfill the promise of American freedom and justice for every citizen. That's, was it, 96% white Vermont. It's George Floyd Remembrance Day. There was an interesting. Did you see that thing on? Was it? I saw it on CNN clip. There was a AP reporter, I think, reporting on at George Floyd Square, which is now it's an autonomous zone where police are not allowed in, apparently. But it's George Floyd Square, and he was reporting, talking about police reform. And as he's reporting this, shots ring out. And the reporter panics, and some SUV goes whizzing by. Apparently, there was a person injured. There's a shootout, you know. So we talk about police reform. Of course, they've defunded the police. They've depoliced the area, and now they're having shootouts. This is to, of course, a fitting, I guess, a fitting celebration of the late George Floyd.
Yeah, well, Tim, like in San Francisco, I know about this situation because I know people who live there. The shoplifters, are basically taking over the city. I mean, the little businesses are not able to get any kind of police response, and so they're going to have to just start shutting down. And this is, another example of what we have talked about. Wherein, if you are in a George Soros DA funded zone and you are part of the unvaxxed, clear minded, humanity 1.0, you have to get the hell out.
Well, who's the mayor? London Breed, this fat black woman. Is it
Yeah,
London
she's.
Breed?
Yeah,
The name, I think.
I,
Something like
you
that.
know,
And she's a Soros funded mayor. And I think, was it, I'm sorry, I guess Gavin Newsom used to be the mayor of the city, right?
He
Yeah.
was indeed. He
And
was the one who.
so was Willie Brown, the benefactor of our current vice president.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, he was the he brought her into the political world, so to speak,
Was she
and
the DA there? Was she or Oakland or someone? She
she
was
was a
like,
DA. Yeah, I
yeah.
wasn't I'm not sure which city, but it was either Oakland or San
That or
Francisco. Yeah.
Kamala Harris. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean that was just an obvious that was like sort of a the appointment like of a prostitute for favors. I mean, it was kind of an open secret. You gotta have to live in California to kind of believe these things are real. But it was actually sort of known, that there was this relationship and that was the basis. But no one complained, and she developed her political career, which now is, just one heartbeat away from the
Yeah,
presidency.
she actually spoke at Annapolis, I think, at the
Yeah.
graduation. So they were honored with the presence of Kamala Harris.
This is just the clown world, squared. I mean, it's just there's almost no level of insanity at this point that is not possible.
There was a, I sent you the news clip. Ohio theme park, Kings Island. Closes early after multiple fights break out. And this is always kind of sad and humorous at the same time. Kings Island Amusement Park in Ohio closed early Saturday after multiple fights broke out near rides and in the parking lot. The Ohio State Highway Patrol told USA Today that several fights occurred throughout the day, but a large one happened shortly before 10 p.m. Local police in Mason, about 20 miles north of Cincinnati, were called to the scene, but no arrests were made. It's not clear what the fights were over. But attendees told USA Today there were a lot of teenagers at the park, so unruly teens. There were a lot of F-bombs, Ryan Smith said. It felt rough. Smith said the park appeared to be understaffed with long lines and concession stands and few security guards. Sounds typical for a amusement park. The safety of our guests and associates is always our top priority. On Saturday, this decision was made to close the park 30 minutes early due to unruly behavior as altercations involving a number of teenagers. This behavior did not align with our park's values and was not the experience we want any guests to have while visiting Kings Island Park, said the park said, the park, I guess the park, park spokesperson said in a statement. Unruly teenagers. Well, yeah. You see the video, of course, they're all of, seem to be one racial ethnic group. They're all they're black teenagers.
You know, mostly black, young black males, they're teenagers. And you've seen, there's been lots of videos recently of these kind of wilding, black on black violence. They're in cafeterias or in malls. And, you know, what's happening is the children of the great society, in other words, the young black males who don't have either father or mother, basically, they are just raised in these, very, kind of.
Well, feral is a word, feral.
I mean, right, but there's really no structure to them. And the culture under those circumstances just turns to violence and drugs because, first of all, that's what's available to them. So now with the BLM cultural ascendancy in the United States, they're being invited out into the middle class. This is, by design, they're not, these things aren't happening, circumstantially. They're really, I think, quite in conjunction with what we just talked about with the George Soros funded DAs. And it, when you see these videos and you see just how inhuman these young men are, because they really are, they just don't have any kind of capacity that one would think would plug into a civilized society.
It's barbarity.
It is barbarity. And this is going to happen more and more. It's going to be in conjunction with different kinds of crime. The white middle class people in these areas have no recourse. There isn't going to be, if you were in that crowd and I didn't see any people beaten up, but I mean, I wouldn't want to have been a white person in that crowd. You certainly would have had your life at risk.
Yeah, the white people were just bystanders. I saw in the video, they just kind of cleared it. They're just looking at it, in curious horror.
Yeah, there was one great, but it was just kind of America Today moment where there is this video of a fight in a cafeteria, I think at a college. And it lasts for like 20 minutes. And I mean, it's just barbaric, there's just violence and people are smashing and all of the food, workers and things are hiding under the tables and stuff and everyone's black. And there's one white guy and he's by the counter and you can hear him. He goes, can I get a burger?
One thing I always love is when I'm watching these news reports, you have some like white reporter trying to explain what's going on. Of course, you can't say the obvious. So the verbal gymnastics that they exercise are really, they should be like an Olympic event because to avoid the obvious, what everyone's thinking when they watch these videos, unruly teens, And I was thinking, what would be an accurate report? And I said, I'd like to see if there was like HNN, the Honest News Network. And the reporter would go, it's been like a riotous gang of feral Negro teenage boys forced to close your Kings Island Park as Caucasian park guests passively looked on in fear that any collective action on their part to restrain and remove the delinquents from the park would be portrayed by the media as an attack on innocent black youths and proof of America's systemic racism.
But that would be like the Honest News Network.
That would be an honest account of what was going on.
But I would add to that you have to ask yourself, why is Soros creating this? Mm-hmm. What is his purpose? Because it's only when you plug into the purpose of Soros and the Rothschilds and the people who created the Great Society that you really understand what's going on. Because if you're just sitting there as a white person going, God, I hate these unruly black kids, where are the police? You're brain dead. You have to see past that to the process that created them. Who's doing it? What is the purpose? that was done for. I mean, these are the things you've got to look at. And when you, I don't think Soros is that hard to figure out, frankly. I mean, he's been attacking European culture for his whole life.
Yeah, the strategy is clear. There was that, it's funny because Kings Island Park, I mentioned, is located in Mason, Ohio, which is a suburb that was created to draw in the white flight, sort of the people, the refugees, if you will, escaping integration of ethnic neighborhoods in nearby Cincinnati. And one such neighborhood there was over the Rhine, which made national news about 20 years ago when there was a shooting incident, a police shooting incident that sparked several days of black rioting. Now, over the Rhine was an ethnic German Catholic neighborhood that was, I think, established in the 1830s, 1840s, but it was enriched in the 1960s with integration and particularly became a crime-ridden ghetto. You know, that neighborhood now has since been gentrified. Funny how that works. But it's always, I'm always wondering if these unruly teens that the nation, that the news reports about, are sort of the, again, the human detritus of yet another, you know, social engineering and real estate acquisition, you know, scheme.
That's, sure. You know, of course. I mean, you know, I mean, there are forces that make use of all of this every single time. They create it, so they're there to benefit from it financially, as they will, I'm sure, and also to benefit ethnically with further diminution of kind of the capacity of Europeans to have political power in the United States. And I wanted to mention this tragic situation in Melbourne, you know, where last year they had locked the inhabitants down for 120 days or something. And that was just a violent lockdown where most of the time they couldn't even come out of their houses except for 2 hours a day. I mean, I'm sure you're familiar with all that. And at the beginning of it, I was in communication with some people who live there. And the question was, is what to do? And, you know, I was saying, well, maybe it's time to fight, you know, and stuff. But this was just horrible advice on my part. The thing to do is flee. And now they just think yesterday they did what they called a snap count. I think they forget the name of it, but it's a 7-day lockdown, which they're calling a circuit breaker because they have like five, you know, COVID tests in the city. They have these tiny numbers for their lockdowns. But anyway, they had a couple people. So they're doing this, snap count lockdown for 7 days. They just immediately, you know, overnight came up with this idea. And this is clear to me that this is just the beginning. And you'll see that, you know, as flu season picks up there, you're going to have a lot more cases.
That's right. There are the winter there. People
forget. Yeah, they're coming into it. And so you're going to have just a lot more opportunity for them to lock you down. And, you know, what I was thinking is the right thing to do is the people there who are clear-minded and unvaxxed to organize, to leave, to simply evacuate the city en masse and try to work out a deal with some other mayor, or I don't know exactly where you'd have to go to get to someplace, but they have areas in Australia that have very democratic situations. You know, they didn't, some of these places never really locked down hard. So the thing to do is to try to find a location or several and go there and use your numbers to reinforce the democratic nature of the place you go to. I mean, this is something that should be done in a small scale everywhere in the United States and Europe. I mean, You're going to see that the group that locked you down last year, when they come back the second time, will do it with just as much force. And I'm telling you, Tim, the people in Melbourne really have to start thinking about their sanity and their health, because I really don't think most of them are going to, not have really severe physical and psychological consequences if they have to go through another 100-day, you know, stay-at-home order. So there's nothing else to do at this point but to leave, and this is really what they need to do. They just need to organize themselves, figure out where to go, and then just leave en masse. They should leave Melbourne to the, woke individuals who think that the vaccine is a good idea and are supporting the lockdown. Say, look, guys, we did our best. God bless you. We're out of here. Just give it to them. Leave the city and try to go to some place where your numbers will contribute to a political force in this region that can continue to preserve democracy.
What I don't understand is what was the point of getting the vaccine if,
That's right. I mean, it's absurd. They've been forced into the
I
vaccine.
suspect there's a reason, I
Well,
the real reason, but I'm saying, just from the standard narrative, what's been, how does the person.
what a good point. I mean, so they've had the vaccine, and it was going to lifesaver. It was just ha you had to have it. The whole nation, everyone has to have it. But then suddenly you've got three people with COVID, and we've got to lock you down again. Well, wait a second. What's the point of the vaccine then? So you can see, none of this has any, the medical purpose. It's all just about genocide. The vaccine will get them, and of course the lockdown will contribute to that. I mean, the people who have the vax, who have diminished immune systems, and or if they get them locked down again, I mean, the body count, I would be amazed if it isn't enormous. So the unvaxxed and the clear-minded people in Melbourne, get out. Get out now. They say this is 7 days, fine. Organize yourself as best you can and get the hell out now, because it's just going to be a hellhole
Well,
there.
how long are people going to trust in these so-called medical authorities, public health authorities? The CDC here in the United States, the CDC was caught red-handed, playing games with the test. If you've had the vaccine, the so-called vaccine, the injection rather, and you take a test, they'll run less than 30 cycles. But if you haven't had it, they'll run 40 cycles. So you can be sick, suffering from side effects, from the jab. And go get tested, and they'll run the cycle threshold be below 30, so they get a negative test. You can be asymptomatic, go get the test, and run 40 cycles, and then you're the one who's sick.
I mean, that fact has to be just in the independent media, the headline for the next couple of weeks, because it's just critical. So, what they did was, is they said, okay, we're not going to accept any PCR tests for vax people that are over 28, because we could get false positives, and we're really trying to have accurate understanding of the effects of the vaccine. So now, the difference between 28 and 40 cycles is the difference between night and day. And it's just, but they have that. So the vaxxed will get, you'll see that they will have no COVID, very, very little few. With 28 cycles, you're going to have very few people who've been vaxxed who will test positive. But for the unvaxxed, because they still want to protect them and to make sure that we get early warning and detection of any possible outbreaks, they're going to keep the cycles at 40. Well, so you're guaranteed to have the vaccine be successful, aren't you? It will produce no COVID patients, where if you're vaxxed, you're going to have an epidemic raging through you. So this is
Well, they said the whole p pandemic has been a function of interpreting, sort of like looking at like ink spots or something on a page. It's like, oh, look,
I mean,
I see COVID. I don't see COVID.
it's just ink spot on a page interpreted by CDC, muck-em-ups, and they just say, okay, to provide rationale for the dictators to lock down the local areas. I mean, it's pretty clear. I don't see at this point anyone should have any doubts. But the main thing is that this three-handed Monty, because that's really what this is. I mean, this moving the PCR number for the vax, that should really just, everyone in the independent media should be aware of this, and it should just be another reason to exit those areas where they're going to lock you down on the basis of these numbers. Moreover, if these numbers are going to be used for the mandatory vaccination program and for the coercion, both mandatory coercion because like, we have to talk about the coercion because it's just hilarious. But, you know, so since that's going to be happening, people, in order to stay clear-minded, have to realize that all of the COVID, you know, epidemic that's going to be occurring in the unvax going forward is just a statistical illusion.
Yeah, and this is
the
well,
efficacy of, you know.
Yeah, we had you know reports this week, hearings about Anthony Fauci and the Wuhan lab and the funding of the gain of function research in China. Fauci's again flip flopping, double talking, surprise surprise, saying you know they didn't fund it, but they sent money. But yeah, they did fund it, and they China reported that they weren't doing this and that, so therefore they trusted China. And you know, the origins of this virus, of course, I think a lot of that is a distraction, because whether or not you know, it's real, whether or not it was created in a lab. The fact of the matter is, it's a dud as a bioweapon. And so, but I think it's sort of a distraction because it gets people focusing on the origins of the virus as opposed to people questioning what actually is the virus. There's no pandemic, and the policy responses to it. Because if you feed the narrative that it is indeed a particularly virulent, deadly virus, it justifies all the It provides justification for all the lockdowns and all the measures that were still.
Exactly.
You know,
it's
so
like arguing, it's, you know, like, do you support Trump or Hillary?
Yes.
It's ridiculous. The you know, like, was it the Chinese or you know, is it a bioweapon? I mean, look, that gives the idea that the that this you know, like, very weak flu is some kind of rationale for all of the slave camps that they're setting up. So. This is ridiculous. I mean, just forget all that. Don't engage in those kinds of time-wasting distractions. You know, just focus on what's real. The fact is that there is no lethality to this thing. We actually are encountering people here in California who have banded together to only have social engagement among the vaxxed.
Mm-hmm.
They only want to associate with people who've taken the vaccine.
Yeah, there was they're trying to create this two-tier society, and
yeah,
you know, I guess the Department of Homeland Security came out saying the U.S. eyeing vaccine passports for travel abroad, says DHS head Mayorkas. The U.S. is taking a close look at vaccine passports in quotations for international travel. Homeland Security. Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said Friday, opening the door to voluntary measures to prove vaccination status abroad. Mayorkas said, speaking on ABC's Good Morning America ahead of the U.S. Memorial Day holiday, was asked about creating a document for flights into and out of the U.S. We're taking a very close look at that, he said. One of our principles that has guided us throughout the pandemic is the value of diversity, equity, and inclusion. I don't know, what the hell? And making sure that any passport we provide for accessible to all, that no one is disenfranchised, and we're taking a very close look at that. I can't make sense of that. I don't know what he's saying there. Just a bunch of gobbledygook, I guess. There's an underlying point here, of course, which is everyone should get vaccinated. Well, remember what he's saying is everyone should be a test subject for a drug that is not approved by the FDA. There's no business getting emergency use authorization because there are established treatments for whatever it is, but they ignore that. Liz Acevedo, a spokesman for the department, later said that Mayorkas was referring to work already underway to make sure all U.S. travelers will be able to easily meet any anticipated foreign country entry requirements. So it's not about the U.S., it's about abroad. Yeah, right. So now, to make it easier for me to travel abroad, we will be monitoring these and helping all other travelers meet these, there will be no federal mandate requiring anyone to obtain a single vaccination credential, she told reporters aboard Air Force One. U.S. health officials have lifted virtually all restrictions, including most mask mandates for vaccinated people. The move has left businesses, states, and cities with a problem. There's no way to verify who is vaccinated. Duh. So it's a joke. I mean, so then, well, how do you know? Wait, it's because they can't quite do this yet because it's too ham-fisted. So they got to create a situation where you either get too scared or it's inconvenienced to ease people into this stuff. Because it is stupid because now I'm saying, you know, masks, these requirements and businesses are being lifted if you're masked. So I just walk in there. No one's saying anything. So the illusion is that once the masks are dropped, the illusion that the pandemic is dropped, people aren't going to be worried about. So they're going to have to get people frightened about something. But I thought that was, it doesn't make any sense. Of course, it doesn't make any sense because there's no there. There's no reality to this thing, really.
Yeah, in Trader Joe's, you don't have to wear a mask if you've been fully vaccinated. So I came in, and this guy, man, I'm having these Trader Joe's. I go because it's near my house. I go there. And the guy said, "Are you fully vaccinated?" I said, "Yes, I've had the MMR, smallpox, and yellow fever."
Yeah, way to go.
Yeah,
Yeah, I just told people to say,
vaccinated,
"Are
buddy.
you fully vaccinated?" Just response, you say, "I'm good," two thumbs up,
Yeah,
and keep on
I'm
going.
good.
I'm
So,
good. All right.
to this, I wanted to say, I spent a lot of time this week with the magnet phenomena.
Yeah. What about yeah?
There are amazing videos, which, it sure could be an op, but I'll tell you, if it is, it's the best one I've ever seen. Because, you can really easily spot shills. Like,
Yes.
remember in the 1-6, the dramatic attempt to take over the U.S. government by the Trump fanatics, and they had the crazy lady get shot, and she falls back onto the pillow that she has, and then they have the shills around her, and this one guy gets blood on his hands, and he walks out, and he goes, "It's real now. It's real. It's real." Well, this is an. I mean, this was just very bad acting, and this is, some shills you don't have to worry about. The guys who have been doing the magnet stuff are pretty much kind of normal people, and a lot of very different ethnicities and poor people are doing it. I think those would be probably harder to organize, but I don't know. I mean, how they control these things. But in any case, I was absolutely fascinated by it, and I'll tell you why. If it is true, this would be the best visual cue to try to stop the vaccine, from going any further we could ever have. I mean, if this could actually be true, and I wanted to say, I've tried it a couple times with people. I can't get the magnet to stick. But some of the people who I have seen in the YouTube world look pretty credible to me, and gosh, it looks real. If someone can get it done, and they actually have a person who's willing to let this, come into the public, contact me at joeatwell@gmail.com. Please just send me, we'll find a way to have a private conversation after that. Because I've got guys who are biologists and experts in electromagnetism, and they can start doing tests and stuff to that, we can actually take to not just to the public, but into the court of law for lawsuits and stuff. So I actually have people who have approached me and saying, "Look, if you can come up with this, we'll do the science work." So if someone has a someone who the magnet actually does stick to, if it's real, for heaven's sakes, call me, because if this is real, this would be such a great visual cue. And they delete all of the YouTube videos kind of as fast as they pop up. But one of them was like 3 hours long and had, I don't know, a couple hundred people. Looked pretty real to me. But if there is someone that can actually, produce someone who the magnet sticks to, if we can just get one or two people can actually do it, man, we're off to the races. I would love to have something like this as a visual cue, because it would just help with the break that's going on. Now, even without this, the vaccine was pretty much coming to an end. I mean, I don't know if you've been following how many states have actually canceled orders for the vax because they just can't, they have more than they can use. So they've gone to hard edge and weird kind of coercions, $1 million lottery tickets, a free airplane flight. I mean, just all kinds of strange stuff. I think this could pick off hoi polloi. I mean, like if you're like really kind of down and out and just, maybe there's a few of those that'll fall for it. But I don't think any of the people that are not taking the vax on intellectual principles or religious principles or, they're not going to care about any of that crap. So I think they're at the end of the road. And I think the numbers I got, they're all over the place. I don't think they have I don't think they have more than half of the adults vaccinated, Tim, at this point.
Why would you trust that, given the fact that they've lied about everything else?
Yeah.
They lie about the testing. So why would you trust the numbers they're claiming? It's, they're trying to create a bandwagon effect, I guess. That's a typical advertising marketing ploy. But yes, you mentioned some of these incentives. Alabama, the Talladega Super Speedway is offering people age 16 and older who choose to be tested and or vaccinated the thrill of driving their car or truck on the 2.66 mile track. Drivers and their riders will be take two laps behind a pace car at the highway speed, including a 33-degree, it's a 33-degree high banks. Arkansas is offering a $100 bonus to agency employees, state agency employees. Colorado, Department of Correction has announced it will provide $500 to any of its more than 6,000 staff members who get fully vaccinated against the coronavirus. Connecticut Restaurants Association is partnering with Governor Ned Lamont and the state of Connecticut to launch CT Drink on Us campaign, where participating Connecticut restaurants will offer complimentary drinks to vaccinated patrons beginning May 19th. Ned Lamont was the governor who falsely reported that children were dying of COVID-19. Early on in the, he was caught. Some child had died of some other, I think, an accident at home. And he claimed he went on. I think he went on to television, claimed it was a child, it was a COVID-19 victim. Panic a lot of young mothers. Illinois will be giving out 50,000 free Six Flags tickets to anyone who's been vaccinated through a partnership with Six Flags Great America Payment. Indiana state health officials announced that anyone who gets vaccinated at specially designated sites will receive a box of Girl Scout cookies. I thought that was particularly humorous. I hope they get the Simones. They're my favorite. Kentucky, a lottery announced that May 10th, that starting immediately, people 18 or older who get a first or second dose of the vaccine at Kroger or Walmart locations will receive a coupon, free cash ball, 220, 225 ticket. Well. So, what? State of Maryland will offer $100 financial incentive to state employees. Was it? Oh yeah, lottery tickets, Vax to win.
Yeah, I mean, but the paranoia is pretty high concerning the vax because, for one thing, there have been so many side effects. Almost everyone knows someone
Yes.
got really sick. I spent a lot of time this week with the VAERS data. I actually have kind of studied the system a little bit, so I know more about it now. There's this one guy who I just find just absolutely genius. He goes on, I don't know, he gave his name, but I don't know. I can't recall it. But anyway, he goes under the banner like a Welcome the Eagle. And he's on the 153 kind of YouTube site that I like. And he did something so ingenious. So he just filled out a VAERS form. He had a, I think his grandfather passed away after taking the vaccine. So he just documented his filling out the form. Now, bear in mind, this guy is an absolute expert in VAERS. I mean, literally, I would regard him as the expert in it. And I mean, it took him about 25 minutes to go through the form. And if it had been a normal human, you would never have, he would could you just couldn't have got to the end. If you see the video, you'll see how complicated the thing is.
Yes, yeah.
The point I'm making is the VAERS, they've had different studies and they know it only picks up a fraction. Well, when you actually see the video of how hard it is to finish the form and to send it to VAERS, you can see how
Yeah, to be really motivated to finish it.
you have to be so motivated. So it's not picking up much. They're up to like 5,000 deaths, but this is they throttle down the adverse events. So you're still really only looking at through January. Maybe a third at the most of the vaccinations have occurred. So you're definitely going to be close to 20,000. And then the adverse events are just through the roof. And these are really severe kinds of things. Now, these are the reported numbers. There's a large fraction beyond that. Just in my world, I'm seeing about 20% of the people have a bad reaction to it. If you've got 100 million, you're talking 20 million people, Tim, that's had, really are sick with the thing. So this has to be getting out. I mean, even if the magnet thing is not real, it's contributed to this paranoia. So I just don't see there's anywhere to go for these guys. And this is great because as my prognostication on this, we wanted to get to the end where we started seeing the downstream effects set in, not just the toxicity. So we started having like real lethality. People are having autoimmune responses and things. Because once that happens, then the force will come into existence of the people who were, skeptical and rebellious can now join with those who are going to be furious over facing a life with autoimmune disorder and, whatever. And we'll be pretty potent politically at that point. I don't think they will be able to control us. And, sort of like the group that would leave Melbourne, we can at that point create enclaves and defend ourselves.
Yeah. Did you see that thing? I guess you sent me that report about, I guess it was Chris Rufo's report about Portland. And it's, I mean, I guess it was in, yeah, this spring, the City Journal published, it was by the Manhattan Institute, Christopher Rufo's documents. And it shows how the Oregon public schools have pretty much abandoned education and just gone to like full press cult indoctrination, full court press cult indoctrination. I think Chris Rufo's study focused on three counties in Portland school systems: the Tigard, Beaverton, and Portland. I guess Tigard, Tualatin, Beaverton, and Portland. And of course, these I think are like over 95% white areas. But anyway, using the documents in official statements, he showed that the purpose of the education, at least instituted, is to destroy, pretty much go after the confidence of white students and infuse sort of
Sure.
this white guilt, white shame, self-loathing. And if you read that full, it was like a 10-page article. It's just absolutely insane what these political operatives or commissars are doing in these schools to employees and to students, and the fact that the taxpayers there, the parents would tolerate this,
Yeah,
for a
the
moment.
only place that curriculum would make any sense would be Jonestown.
Yes, that's what it's like.
I mean,
Yeah.
it's just 100% kind of glorified hatred of Europeans. I mean,
Well, it's
okay.
like Maoist. It's weird. It's
Yeah.
like the fact that people put up with this, the fact that anyone would put up with that. I mean, I just can't imagine just to keep a lousy job.
Yeah,
And
it's just crazy. I mean, so there's nothing we can do. We mourn our losses, but the vaxxed, woke, white people in those areas are simply gone. They are debris at this point. There's really nothing left of them. They certainly aren't. I can't imagine them ever turning around. I mean, even if they all start dying of autoimmune disorders, they're going to have some excuse, as to
yeah.
what it's a COVID variant that came in because the unvaxxed brought it in from Russia or something. So there's nothing you can do with them if you are still functioning as a like an independent intellect, a human. Get out. You have to get out. You cannot stay there. You've got to go someplace, where your kids can get a real education. I mean, Tim, the kids that go through that, I mean, can you imagine them ever being able to reconnect with, Europeans?
Well, a lot of them will be the Antifa protesters. That's
They'll
what
just go
the
straight to him.
article.
Yeah, that's all
Yeah.
they're capable of doing. Yeah.
He wrote in the article, he says, "We have reached the strange reality in which the state, through the organs of education, agitates for its own destruction. Educators have condemned the entire structure of the social order and celebrated those who would tear it down." Obviously, a program like this is being instituted from above.
Yeah.
You go like the 1619 project that's being celebrated by the New York Times. And so this is, again, this is an assault on Heritage America. It's assault on white America, white Americans,
It's a racial attack. It
yeah.
goes right back to the Frankfurt School and then the Hungarian Soviet with Gregor Lukács and Bela Kun. I mean, this is 100% success on their part. Every part of that curriculum has been created with the idea of this constant process of shattering the European, shattering their communities, their families, their sexuality, their history, and now their minds, you know. So if you're a parent, you don't need to go to some big, you know, like understanding of the Frankfurt School or the authoritarian personality. If you are conscious and unvaxxed, I mean, and you see the curriculum for kids, for your kids of this nature, the only human response is to get out. Get the kid out immediately. I mean, it's going to be difficult. You probably don't have a lot of money. You're going to have to find, you know, pick up stakes and go someplace, but find someplace that, you know, European culture can exist, you know, for your own sanity and for the future of your kid. Get out.
Well, from what I understand, the blue states are hemorrhaging people, and there are red states that are actually specifically banning this type of education. So there are signs of life. Nevertheless, at the federal level, it looks pretty dismal. Kristen Clark was confirmed 51-48 by the U.S. Senate for the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights. She's going to lead the Civil Rights Division. Kristen Clark previously led the Civil Rights Bureau in New York. Attorney General's office. Now she is a rather controversial figure. I don't think she's that bright. I saw her in Tucker Carlson in an older interview. Not very impressive. It's what you'd expect. Her nomination was met by opposition. They've accused, of course, she's accused of anti-Semitism. But also, what's more disturbing is her, of course, her anti-white attitude. She's the one that made claims like this was that black babies sit, stand, crawl, and walk sooner than whites. They're actually blacks had superior physical and mental abilities. This is the person leading the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. I guess she's entitled to her views, but she certainly shouldn't be given any power, nor she should be. Obviously, she lacks a temperament to be entrusted with that type of power when she's supposedly enforcing civil rights. She's obviously going to use it as a cudgel to go after white people, if that's her attitude.
Yeah, I mean, I would just say that any analysis of the federal government in terms of fairness or, you know, racial objectivity is kind of passé at this point. I mean, the government is a secret society. What we see of it are propaganda devices. The legacy media is working with the government to debase us, to paralyze us mentally. You know, it's just one big clump of lies, and all of this stuff. I mean, the people they bring in. I mean, you know, Dick Levine is this poster child for all this. You know, so
I'm
it
sure he
just,
was the most qualified.
yeah, of course.
And
But
so is
so the thing
Kristen Clark, the most
is, yeah,
qualified.
don't feel bad about this, and don't be surprised. But at the same time, don't be in an area where this person has a lot of control over you, which, of course, unfortunately, is the whole country. But there are, as you pointed out, some areas that are still, relatively speaking, democratic. Go there and use your body to enforce and reinforce democracy in these areas, and bring with you the wisdom learned about the dangers of cultural Marxism, the dangers of you know, the psychological control that I mean, you know, just look at like Netflix, it's owned by Bernays's nephew, you know, Sigmund Freud. I mean, so look, this is
So
you know,
these are the
not hard.
people, if you look, go into Edward Bernays and the Freud and Sigmund Freud and the problems they had in their life, and these are the people determining the entertainment fair of the
Yeah,
country.
totally right, exactly. And so this is all in the text. Don't even bother with that. Don't. It really. I would just say in general, I mean, very, you know, very firmly, you can't watch any of these movies. You may not see them as, you know, propaganda, brain destroying, you know, weapons against Europeans, but they are. They are. They may be witty. There may be a sexy girl. There may be some fancy explosions. Believe me, they don't put these things out, you know, without some sinister intent. They're all like that, you know, since Bimbo's initiation, you know, all the way through Star Wars. So you just can't, don't let your kids watch this stuff. We have to separate from the media because it is just a propaganda weapon. And even what it reports as news is nonsense, you know, just are weaponized, you know. So we have the independent media. This is what needs to be supported. And particularly now that we have YouTube, and there's all these other platforms. We can create our own if you want, like little video things to show your kids. There's lots of wholesome stuff out there, but you can't let them have access to Netflix or Amazon or any of these platforms for, you know, the you know, Sigmund Freud's you know, sexual deranged. You know, they're not deranged. I mean, they are weapons. You know?
Yeah.
They're just designed to mess you up, wreck your sexuality, break and the capacity to have families. So you just have to, you know, have nothing to do with them. We shouldn't know the names of any of the stars. We don't know who the studios are. We're just separating from that world because that's the only way we can have a clear mind.
Yeah, because you just don't view it anymore and don't be interested in it. And don't, you know, subsidize it and support it so your kids can watch it.
Exactly.
You know, just because
it leads to pornography. I mean, you get into these movies and Netflix, which are, you know, they all have, you know, highly sexualized themes, even if they're for children. And then violence. What do you think you're tracking the child into?
Mm-hmm.
So just don't. You have to nip it in the bud. Don't get them started. Just tell the child. Explain to them clearly. This is done by these movies are done by very evil people, and they're designed to hurt you.
Well, I mean, even though they're you know, rich with sexual content, it's there to actually just kind of destroy the relationship between the sexes. It's there
of
to
course, yeah.
atomize it to the extent you atomize someone and they become deracinated. You know, they become less interested in procreation. They become more, you know, narcissistic. And
the more pornography, the less able, particularly a male,
yes.
the ones who you watch that crap, the less able they are to have a real relationship.
Yeah, and
they
the can't. Women won't find the men interesting.
Yeah. You know, so it's just it's not just a waste of time. But again, look, these are weapons. These are not just, you know, history unfolded. We ended up with a pornographic culture. This was a design. It's designed to destroy us. It's a weapon. And the way we avoid the blow of the weapon is to turn it off. Just turn it off.
Well, even this thing like social media, which you actually destroy the internet. I was talking to someone about that, how the internet was kind of cool before social media. Because, you know, you could have like anonymous comment sections, and when it's anonymous, it doesn't have the same narcissistic effect on it because you're not identified. But the moment they made social media and you're identified, you know, you'd get the thumbs up or the likes and these things, and that creates a dopamine hit, rush or hit, you know, and people, particularly young girls, will use it to get attention. And, you know, and that can't, you know, that's going to take the place of, because there's only so much time, that's going to take the place of having a meaningful relationship, of real social gatherings and events, you know. I mean, think about it. Do they even have, like, church socials and dances anymore?
Well, I mean, look, it's so obvious. The Facebook and...
Yeah.
And this was all created so that we'd have, it would be easy to lock us down. The lockdown is the end result of Facebook.
That's you couldn't have done it 30 years ago because people wouldn't have sat still. But then they had, binge watching and social media and the internet. You know, it just draws them into it. Then they get addicted to that, and they close out the outside world.
In Melbourne, you have people sitting there. They've just been vaccinated. They said we're going to lock you down for the next 90 days. You can't come out of the house. They yawn. And they turn on Netflix.
Now, yeah, and of course, a figure that's played a big part in this, because he's the one that, I guess, played a big role in the, I guess, the development, or at least the commercialization of the internet using the browser, or, you know, I guess, with Microsoft's Bill Gates. And now, for many years now, he's kind of come across as sort of a made man. Benefiting from sort of endless positive coverage from the media, talking about his, you know, so-called philanthropy. He became sort of the go-to guy for the pandemic response, even though we're told we have to trust the science and the experts, even though he has no expertise in this stuff. He's a rich guy, so you had to listen to him. He spearheaded the vaccines and these things, talk about how important they are. But nevertheless, lately he seems to have been taken down a notch or two or three or four with this divorce. Bill and Melinda Gates are now getting divorced, and some I guess some unsavory details have been revealed about his life, and it almost seems like he's being taken down at this point.
Yeah, I think they are. If you go back, you can see the technique, the psychological technique of taking down the person, the current superstar. I mean, Kennedy, that was a mechanical takedown, but I mean, Clinton, Nixon, Harvey Weinstein, these things are theatrical productions. I mean, I don't know exactly what. I mean, I certainly can understand, like with Clinton, because then they had a chance to talk about oral sex, for every single night for, 3 hours. But why they would do this with Bill, I think it's mainly just to distract away from the safety and effectiveness of the vaccine. I think, you're gonna, you get into, his inappropriate behavior, and that becomes the subject that people are talking about, rather than the fact that the vaccine just killed the next door neighbor. Gates is a completely artificial character. He was, I mean, he doesn't have money because he's a lifetime actor. I mean, the role he was created had money. It was when IBM and Helms, the CEO, gave him this crazy relationship where he could make all the money on the operating system. They were just creating this character, I think, for a lot of reasons. We talked about this in the past, why they created him. But so he's an artificial person. He's a, he's like a movie in a, excuse me, he's like an actor in a movie, and he's there for a purpose. He was this young, hip guy, different from IBM. So that the personal computer would be more easily to sell to, young baby boomers, right? Because IBM was seen as such a stodgy, and computers in general are very stodgy. So they switched it. You have Apple and IBM, and that was how it led to the iPhone, where, now they have round-the-clock surveillance, and pornography every single minute is available. So, it was just this horrible process that they took us through, and ends up with the lockdown. But I think that Gates will probably be, thrown under the bus in a dramatic fashion. The more interesting thing to me than, his sexual peccadilloes, is the research of Whitney Webb, the indefatigable and ingenious researcher, who has. She's brought. She had a talk with RFK Jr. last week, and she was, pointing out all of his connections with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes, the Epstein thing was
Yeah, and
exposed, yeah.
this and she showed how deep the relationship was, and how it was very much involved with Israel, which of course, Epstein was. So this is really, getting into more interesting, areas. This to have an expose of Gates, where you can also bring his relationship, the overall, kind of Jewish control and Jewish influence, in the in the online world, right? In the propaganda world, which is leading to the lockdown. I mean, that would really be timely and useful. Bringing him out is like a weird sex guy. I mean, it might be a distraction, but I don't think that at this point, as I've said, I really don't think the vaccine can go a whole lot further, because they're down to the bedrock now, and there's so much paranoia. The people who've resisted it this far aren't going to be tempted much, and they're not going to care about, the distraction of Bill Gates's sex life, as far as, whether or not, he was associated with taking the vaccine. I think that's all, kind of under the bridge stuff now. That isn't going to have any effect. So it's going to be interesting to me to see how they throw them under the bus. You know what I mean? Like, what are they going to do? Are they going to bring? Are women going to come forward? And it's going to be a Me Too kind of situation.
Yeah,
But
they're
at
trying to
this,
Me Too-ing him, which is this is stuff that's 20 years old. And to me, I'm
yeah,
not surprised that he, that Bill Gates, the billionaire, would
yeah.
be running around with women. I mean, what's the point of being a billionaire if you can't transcend bourgeois morality, right?
Right. I mean,
I mean, it's
exactly.
like, no, I'm a billionaire, damn it. I mean,
Yeah,
why can't I have,
I'm not supposed to,
20 naked
see.
women in my pool when if I can pay for it, you
Yeah,
know?
but the research is more interesting to me, and it's just interesting that, and I hope it does kind of piggyback on the if the media is going to have this dramatic throwing them under the bus, a la like Clinton.
Yeah. What's interesting, you mentioned the kind of the tech world, and obviously Jeffrey Epstein with the girls at the Lolita Express. It's he was running some sort of blackmail operation that was sort of alluded to and revealed when he was busted, before he quote committed suicide. When it came out that when Dan, Acosta, the I guess he was being vetted for the position of Secretary of Labor for the Trump administration, was asked about his role. He was a U.S. attorney down there in Florida who kind of dropped the case, and he was told to let it go because for Epstein, because Epstein belonged to intelligence. Now, which intelligence agency do you think it is? I would say probably is the Israel, the Mossad. Of course, Ghislaine Maxwell is sitting in jail right now, waiting her trial for her role in this human trafficking. And of course, her father is Robert Maxwell, another person who has a suspicious death, a sort of this man, international man of mystery, Israeli spy. He probably spied for many different agencies, and that's how these people operate. But he too committed suicide, or jumped off his boat. This is Lane, is his yacht. But he was also involved, I think, in the Promise Software acquisition or theft, which is also was used so the Israeli intelligence and other intelligence agencies could get backdoored all types of people's software or computers back in the 80s and 90s. So here you have this prominent role that the Israelis play in espionage and with high tech, and you have
Yeah.
Israelis Unit 8200. And these things, and that was probably something of Epstein's function here. There are reports that Bill Gates was lobbying Jeffrey Epstein to help him be nominated to win the Nobel Peace Prize. So
Wow.
it's kind of funny. It isn't some honor that's, here I am just doing great things, and whoa, this honor is bestowed upon me. How that's this great. Oh, I'm not worthy, but yes, I accept the prize. People actually lobby for this stuff. What's interesting enough that he would have to go to Jeff Epstein and appeal to a Jewish network to get the Swedes to give him the prize. It shows the sort of the Jewish network. It's, so what's going on here? Why would Jeffrey Epstein have any pull in who and who doesn't get the Nobel Peace Prize?
Yeah, it's very telling. And I mean, to me, that's the Judeo-Masonic network
Yes.
that Gates trying to plug into. One thing I hope that Whitney Webb gets into, because God, she is a good researcher, is whether or not there's any family connection between Gates's mom, Mary Maxwell, and the Maxwells
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
that runs with Epstein. Because Mary Maxwell, that family was very mysterious, but they were a Federal Reserve Bank family.
Yeah.
So this is tying them into the Rothschilds,
I
into
forget
that whole.
Maxwell's real name, but he what did he come from? Didn't he come from like Bohemia or something? He was like
Yeah, I
a
mean,
Jew.
the Maxwell was brought on,
Yeah.
but nevertheless, I would really like to see Gates's mom trace back a little bit, someone to do like Webb to do some work, just to see if there's any kind of connection with this Maxwell stuff. And the other thing that would be kind of, I mean, I've always thought it'd be kind of fun is to see what a fake company Starbucks is, which was created by Gates's father. I mean, he met with Schultz. Have you ever heard the story? It's just preposterous. Schultz goes in and for some reason Gates's father even will talk to this guy who's just like a coffee salesman, and he wants to buy the franchise of Pete's Coffee to create Starbucks, and he needs millions of dollars. And then Gates's father arranges it all for him, and then he says, "And me and my son are going to promote your company." This is this Lifetime actor fake world where they create wealthy people for, I think, for particular purposes. But it all is swirling around this Bill Gates Jr. at this point. So all of these, his mother's connection to the Federal Reserve, his father's Planned Parenthood, role. And of course, then, you know, and the way that they manipulated Seattle and Starbucks coffee, all of this stuff, all these things are just
Yeah, I
theatrical.
think these like huge corporations and branding is a form of, again, getting control. It's a sort of rather, people think that you become powerful by seizing political power, overt political power, you know, a coup, or you become a dictator or a successful politician. But this is another strategy, I think, that the power elite, the banking and financial interest, use business, the concentration of business, to acquire assets and resources, wanted to get control of those resources, get control further for the economy. I would say that building a national franchise like Starbucks, with all the advantages and cheap capital, would destroy, the same way they did it with the lockdown, which was more direct. You're destroying, I would say, this coffee house and the small, this is a good a primary source of small businesses and upward mobility
Yeah.
and real competition in the economy. And you knock this out with all the sort of financial chicanery that we come to know. That if you're the big corporation, your cost of capital is zero, you're going to grow and grow and grow, especially if you're being capitalized through the drug trade and sort of that stuff, how Wall Street is. And you're not a small company is going to be able to compete. And you know, coffee houses are perfect for the sort of the boutique environment where people will pay a lot, well, significantly more for good coffee, for a nice environment. And they've sort of destroyed that with this corporate environment. You know, it's a
I mean,
form way of the global mafia, the real mafia taking over, you know, by
yeah,
doing
I
that.
mean,
And these,
Starbucks is just Amazon.
yeah, there was a famous scene in, not a famous scene, but a very funny scene in the Sopranos, and it, you know, how the Sopranos, it's a you know, it's an outfit of a family in New Jersey, a mobster family, and all linked in the families in New York, and you know, they do the typical shakedown operation of local businesses. And two of Tony Soprano's muscle men are going around trying to collect and get contributors. And they walk into this coffee shop. It's like a Starbucks type operation, you know. You know, and it's a corporate chain. And they say, "We're from the Newbergen neighborhood, you know, AIDS or Improvement Society, and we'd like you to make a contribution." He says, "You know, this community is up and coming, but it still has its problems. You know, there's some rough elements here, and the police do their best, but you know, they can't do it all. You know what I mean?" And the manager kind of looks at him kind of skeptically and goes, "Well, you know, I don't have the authority to do that. You know, all this is made at corporate." And they go, "What would they think if, you know, if someone broke the window?" And the manager goes, "Well, they own like 15,000 stores. I don't think they really care." He says, "Well, what if the manager got a broken leg?" He says, "Well, they just hire somebody else." And the guy looks at him, and the manager looks at the two hoods. He goes, "Listen, man, they count every bean in this place. I don't have any cash to give you. If you ruin the store, they just build another." And the two kind of look at each other despondently and walk out. And one says to the other, "There ain't nothing left for the little guy anymore." You know, because the big, you know, so
That's a point.
and that's what they've done with the economy. And of course, we've seen it in, you know, in spades with the lockdown, with, you know, with the growth of Walmart and Amazon, and you know, the destruction of brick and mortar, which Brittany Whit or sorry, which Whitney Webb writes about too. How there's a white paper I think published a year or a couple of years ago about the destruction of the legacy economy. And how the United States had to become an AI economy to compete with China, and had to do away with legacy systems like personally owned automobiles and brick and mortar stores. Of course, the lockdown and the pandemic was a great leap forward in that.
How convenient.
But Bill Gates is an interesting figure because, again, it's one of these corporations that are made sort of to monopolize and control and further extend the internet and control. It's interesting that the controversy regarding Bill Gates is whether it's Epstein and these things with sexual things, and you know, of course, linking into the human trafficking, the sexual trafficking with minors, which is particularly scandalous and could be used against him, by the way, because that, whereas typical sex scandals can't, or bribery can't work with a billionaire, you can get him, you know, you get him involved with a minor. That's sort of leverage you can use him and get him on board, whatever agenda you might have. But again, the scandal, what we're talking about is it takes away from the bigger scandal, which is the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and his involvement with the World Health Organization, his funding of these various, you know, universities and organizations, NGOs, to promote the vaccine agenda. The scandals surrounding his vaccines, like the crippling of 400,000 children in India and his efforts at, his supporting of involuntary sterilization efforts throughout the Third World. This isn't getting the press. It's this that's getting the press: his infidelity and his sort of I guess connections with Epstein, which are considered unsightly considering the scandals.
Yeah, but if I mean, while they're taking him down and whatever purpose they have in mind for this, it creates an opportunity for the independent media. And I'm sure that people like Whitney Webb and others will try to expose the other side of Gates, the side that is actually the real side, which is to say his role as a puppet of the oligarchs. And I hope that one of the things they get into when they do that is how he was created from the very beginning, the idea of him as a lifetime actor. I think that'd be very useful. Gates is an easy one to expose in this regard. And if they get him, with lots of Me Too moments, and suddenly there is, a wave of media against Bill Gates, I mean, good heavens, that was easy to imagine, then the independent media should really take advantage with stories exposing him further and more important, and his family background, how he was created artificially, because this would open up the whole idea of, well, if Gates was created artificially for the purpose of running Microsoft, then that means that Microsoft was created for a malevolent purpose.
Yeah, same way we should look at companies like Walmart,
Yes, and
and
Amazon and
Amazon, and these aren't free market,
Yeah.
sort of bootstrap operations. This is from the
Well,
top down.
Netflix, I mean, okay, so great. Here you have the internet. Now we can bring all of the quasi-pornographic movies in to your home. This is all part of the agenda. This is all part of the online dominance of the mind of the European that they had in mind back when MK Ultra and when they started working from the authoritarian personality, to program the human mind. This was what led up to Microsoft. This was what led up to the online world. This was what led up to the lockdown. It goes way back. This would be a great time to get that stuff out there. I mean, the independent media, a lot of those pieces are in play, but man, this would be a great time to, try to not just nail Gates as a fake character, but the reason he was created as a fake character.
Yeah, and again, I think these are again, these are like Colonel Sanders and Betty Crocker type characters to put out there that presents a certain image. Same with G Steven Jobs, right? He was put up there.
Yeah, I mean, fake. I mean, in my opinion, this whole LSD Buddhism thing is just it's hip to have a computer. And then he would have these dramatic, meetings to make everyone so enthused about something like the iPhone. Well, gee, is there any chance that the iPhone could be destructive? Who's controlling the content flow? Who's vetting the idea that if this isn't going to separate families? Who's vetting that pornography isn't going to overwhelm our culture? I mean, you look at the technical device and how handy a gadget is, and you don't think about the reason the oligarchs are bringing it out,
Oh
and
yeah,
that's.
just a practical. I mean, you can be a device that you put in your pocket or walk around with, and you'll be monitored 24/7 everywhere you go, and all that
Exactly.
data is going to be sold. Same with social media. They didn't tell you Facebook, and then of course there was all data mining, and then they sell your data. People were aware. Again, you talk about informed consent. No one was informed about this. No one said that this would give the give not only the ability but the pretext to spy on you 24/7.
Yeah, but it was, that's why, I mean, you can attack the malevolent system anywhere, and when you do, you get into the strands and tentacles, and they all lead back to the same groups and the same ideas. And Gates is a great one, in my opinion, too, because he's so topical and because so many people hate him, and justifiably so. He's been so, creepy in the whole vaccine thing that people who need to kind of lose the false sense of history they've been indoctrinated with, I think would be open through an expose of Gates to look a little bit further and then to start wondering, well, why would he is fake? Why was he created? What was that all about? Then the reality of our world, of the attack upon us, would be just easier to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also, if you look at all these companies, whether it's Microsoft or, you know, or Apple, you know, or General Electric, you know, is that they themselves have all their corporate debt bought up by the Federal Reserve.
Sure.
You know, and then they turn around and they what do? They pump their stock up, you know, they use that money to buy back their stock and all that. So what are we living in an economy where the biggest corporations are having their debt absorbed while people are being thrown out of work? They're not getting their credit card debt, student debt. I mean, not as if the government, the federal is going to come out and buy up student debt, because that's a controls mechanism. You know, that's
Look,
how you
in
keep.
This, if you don't have access to free money, you can't compete.
Yeah, Amazon, and only if you have free money. Yes,
Microsoft, yeah. Google. I mean, they have access to an unlimited credit. So if you want to compete against them, you have to leave the economic system to do so, because in the dollar system, you have absolutely zero chance of success.
Yeah. Yeah. You
know? So this is why, you know, Gates is an example. The money he has, the wealth, the, you know, this is just a way to have a particularly malevolent lump of money that they can use for medical mischief.
Yeah, they have a financial system which they control, and they can pick the winners and losers, and you're told to worship the winners, you know.
Yeah.
And you just say, well, because he's a winner, he's got to be smarter than I am, because look at all the money he has, right? I mean, so I got to listen to him about these things. You know, I got to listen to Warren Buffett.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, they, you know, okay, so they delivered a pretty good blow here, Tim. You know, no amount of remorse is too great, but they weren't able to talk half of us into taking the death jab.
Nope. So,
and I think this is a great moment, because the skepticism is high. The more that they offer us the creepy incentives and whatnot, the more people will suspect. You know, what was interesting when I was looking at the magnet videos is so many of the people were aware of the rumor that the vaccine had a chip in it, and there was something, you know, government malevolence. This paranoia, which comes from the independent media, at that level, because these were hoi polloi, these were not sophisticated people, but they were aware of the paranoia. So you can see that we are getting into their world. You know, we are, the independent media, small and, you know, as it is actually, because we have the truth in back of us, we are getting the propaganda effect that the mainstream media would love to be able to achieve, particularly with the last half here. The last half that says no, I don't know how they're going to get it. It's really going to be a bloodbath. I think it's a good time to get armed and organized, because I think that once they've done step one, they almost have to go to step two, which is they can't leave like hundreds of millions of people unvaxxed watching this other group become physically debased. You know, I mean, there's just too, it's too explosive politically for stability.
Mm-hmm.
The government is illegitimate. It's attempting to genocide. The public knows it. I mean, that isn't a formula for, you know, 4th of July parade, Tim. I mean, you're talking, you know, bloodbath. So this is going forward. It's going to be exciting and it's going to be dangerous, but, you know, people have to get ready for the fight.
Yep. Okay, Joe. Enjoy Tim, enjoy the Memorial Day weekend.
You too. Have a great Memorial Day. And I think exciting times are just around the corner here.
So, okay. Good night then.
Bye-bye.
Bye.